Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is Teddy Roosevelt's Very Bad Day, the death of Alice Lee Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, of course, was president of the United States. He served two terms and, of course, one of the most famous figures in U.S. history. We're going to talk about his very bad day. But before we do, I would like to introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
You forgot Satan's dirty little secret.
Sometimes I hold that back just for special occasions.
Oh, okay.
What the hell's so special about today?
I didn't just say it today, so today isn't special, but he is stepping in on Brandy time.
He always does. It's not, whatever.
Why do I always got to be last?
Well. We build up to you.
Oh, okay.
She's like a
co-star.
Yeah, she's the opening act.
And the special guest star. Yes. Okay, thank you.
How are you today, Brandy?
Well, I was better 30 seconds ago, right. Fuckers.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
It's Friday. You have any exciting plans for the weekend?
My girlfriend's having a baby shower this weekend. I have to go...
Shower a baby.
Yeah, I have to go shower a baby.
All right. Well, good luck to you on that.
Well, as long as she doesn't pee, I guess we'll all be all right.
Yeah, sometimes those babies pee right up in the air.
Little boys do, yeah. Yeah. Or they pee in their own face.
Yeah.
Or in the mother's face as she's changing the diaper because Logan had done that to Renee.
Oh, yeah.
You got to look out for that. I'm also joined by the very talented, the moral compass of this podcast, a man who has been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nope.
The most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Wonderful today, Timmy. We just got done with a Facebook Live episode.
We did do a Facebook Live episode.
Facebook profile Brandy of the Devil. And
for our Facebook group, History Dweebs the Podcast. That was a lot of fun.
Now we're moving right into here, and I got a busy weekend planned. Logan has a art show tonight, an art exhibit.
Oh, excellent.
That he has a couple pieces being shown at UC. And
is it online? Are you able to see it online?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I know. I just got to go to the place to see him.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
And then, as I said the other day, I get to take my little nephew Jack to the zoo. And it's so fun to take a kid who's 2.5 years old to the zoo because they're just amazed by everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
The only thing is that
we have a great zoo.
They don't seem to understand. They like to see animals in the priority of which they are their favorites.
Oh, I know. So then you got to go to the elephants.
You go
and then
to
you
the
have
gorillas.
To go to snakes,
then you,
and,
yeah. So you make you crisscross the zoo 36 times, and
it's all uphill. Everywhere you go is all uphill.
We have a great zoo, though.
We do have a great zoo, but yeah. So I get to take my little nephew Jack, who is just so much fun.
Well, that should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, that's a great thing about having. When I don't have grandkids yet, but I got all these great nieces and nephews.
Right.
You know, great nieces and nephews, and you can take them and you go and you fill them up with Mountain Dew and you let them run around, be all crazy, and then you take them back home.
Yeah, All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, Colonel. It's supposed to be nice tomorrow.
Aren't you working tomorrow?
I am, as always.
As always.
It's my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to give a shout-out to all of our listeners who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee tiny little bit to me.
Everything helps, and we really, really do appreciate it. If you cannot afford to give to Patreon, that's okay. We love you. Just listen to us and follow us on Facebook. We love you just the same. So I would like to give a special shout-out, though, to those who do support us on Patreon, and that would include Alicia and Chip, TJ Young. Thank you, TJ. Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maja, Aaron, Kimberly, Shabron, Elise, Scotty J with the Killers, Cults, and Nut Jobs podcast, Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahari Lopes, of course, Dr. Jeff and his lovely wife, Dawn, Andrew Happ, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher and her sister, Ruth, Jennifer Rasnick, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Joe Hopkins, Mandy, Joe with the Now American History Podcast. Looking forward to their second episode this weekend. Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her lovely mother, Linda, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast, Christine Hauer and her and Jeffrey, the Wonder Cat, Cheryl Weldon, and Rudy, the Wonder Dog. So if I left anyone out, I apologize, but I think I got everyone. Okay, so we're going to talk about Teddy Roosevelt's very bad day, the death of his first wife, Alice Lee Roosevelt. At age 42, Teddy Roosevelt became the youngest man ever to assume the U.S. presidency, and he did that after president. He was the vice president under President William McKinley from Ohio, Colonel. Mm-hmm. President McKinley was assassinated in 1901, so Teddy Roosevelt ascended to the presidency. He won a second term in 1904, Colonel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was known for his anti-monopoly policies, conservation, of course. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his part in ending the Russo-Japanese War. He was responsible for building and the acquisition of the Panama Canal. He's in many circles known as the first modern president because he greatly expanded the powers of the executive branch. Yeah, but he was a man of contradiction. He was a hawk who won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was a conservationist who was an avid hunter, and he grew up in a very wealthy family, and he fought for progressive reform. Now, the focus of this podcast is not going to be just on Teddy Roosevelt. It's really going to be, the focus is on one particular day, a very tragic event that occurred in the life of Teddy Roosevelt that shaped his life. He was the, Teddy Roosevelt was the first president to fly in a plane, Brandy.
Cool.
He was the first president to own an automobile truck and to dive in a submarine.
Yes.
So he was a, kind of the first modern president.
He's my favorite president.
He always, you know what he always used to say?
Bully!
He did. People don't use that term much anymore, Brandy.
They don't.
Bully! Although he was a successful author and politician, his life was marred by some very personal tragedies, and that's what the podcast is going to focus on because we love to focus on tragedies, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore Roosevelt, the man who would become president, was born on October 27th, 1858, Colonel, right before Halloween.
Right before it.
He probably didn't get any candy because he didn't have any teeth. Didn't have any teeth at that point. But he probably did a year or two.
He got a lollipop or something.
You would think.
You would.
You know, You know, they used to dress those kids up in. They put them boys in dresses back then.
I didn't like. I'm not.
Like, you didn't like cross-dressing infants?
I just don't like the clothes. It was all fluffy, and it was like they didn't have air conditioning, and the kids had to be hot. And,
yeah.
You know, kids all smelly.
Yeah, nothing worse than the smelly kid.
Boy, smelly, you know, adult. That's right.
Smelly adult, yeah. Smelly teenagers are the worst, though.
Little boys, but look, boys always smell like wet dog. Anytime they start to get sweaty, anytime they smell like wet dog.
Teddy Roosevelt's youth differed sharply from that of his predecessors. He was not a log cabin president. He was born in New York City in
New York City.
Brandy, Mr. Q, and to a wealthy family.
But I picked up.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That was your thing. It's a thing now. It's a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing. You need to tell me.
Right. Teddy's parents. His father was Theodore Thee Roosevelt Sr. He was of Dutch heritage, Brandy.
Okay.
And his mother was Martha Mitty Bollock.
Oh.
She was a bit Mitty. Mitty was her name. That she
I like
was
Mitty.
Yeah, Mitty's okay. She was a Southern Belle, Colonel. Good. Rumored to have been a prototype for the Gone with the Wind character,
Scarlett
O'Hara. O'Hara, yes.
Oh, fiddly-dee.
Yes.
As God is my witness,
I will never go hungry again.
I will never go hungry again.
Bullet!
Jesus fucking Christ.
His family owned a plate glass import business. His father was an old Dutch mercantile. Came from an old Dutch mercantile.
He sold merchants?
Family. Please pay attention.
He sold merchants?
Bullet!
God damn it.
An energetic, dominant figure. He was probably in the leather every time I
opened. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. His father...
You still got your leather stuff, Devil? Did you get rid of that?
None of your business.
Okay.
I don't understand people into rubber. You know, that's the one I can't understand.
Well, it's easy to clean.
Well, that's true.
You just have to hose it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just walk through the car wash with it on.
No, you know like what I don't understand? Diver. I don't get the people that enjoy being wrapped in saran wrap.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
What is that?
No, I don't know. I guess it's a way of smothering or something.
I think
it's cheaper than duct tape. Mm-mm. Because you can wrap somebody up.
It's strong,
up.
Though.
It is. You wrap somebody up in saran wrap, they ain't going nowhere.
Right.
I mean, they can hop if you don't get their feet.
But and they can roll.
Yeah, they can roll due to caterpillar.
So his father was an energetic, dominant figure in his life. His father was the only man, young Roosevelt once said, that he ever feared, Colonel. So it was...
He should. It's healthy.
Yeah. As an adult, Teddy Roosevelt was known for his great energy and his athletic ability, but as a young boy, he was very sickly. He suffered from severe asthma and had a respiratory disease that made breathing difficult. So as a young boy, he was known as Titty, not Teddy, but Titty.
Titty?
Titty.
They called him Titty?
Titty. T-E-E-D-I-E. Titty.
Titty.
Yeah.
Mr. Titty.
He spent a lot of stupid name. It sounds like Teddy.
He spent a lot of time inside his family's home.
I wouldn't go out if my name was Teddy either.
Teddy come out to play?
Let Teddy come
out. I
want to
play with Teddy.
He was a sick young lad.
Is Teddy cold?
This gave him the opportunity to follow his passion for animal life and reading. But by his teens, with the encouragement of his father, who he revered, young Theodore, developed a rigorous physical routine that included weightlifting and boxing, Brandy. Just scoff at that.
His name's Teddy.
Scoff.
Scoff.
You're a scoffer, girl.
Bullet!
We're going to get in so much trouble.
As he grew up, young Teddy exercised and boxed, tried to build up his constitution. His family was wealthy, and they traveled to Europe and Egypt in his youth.
Hmm.
He received his earliest education from his aunt, along with a series of other tutors, before entering Harvard in 1876. At the age of 12, he followed his father's advice. All right, with that, he did weightlifting, horseback riding, boxing, hunting, fishing, wrestling. He grew to love these activities and would for the remainder of his life. He entered Harvard. in 1876, where he developed a lifelong passion for politics and historical interests.
Bullet!
Jesus, fuck.
But at last, Brandy, tragedy struck.
Alas?
Alas. No. Tragedy struck.
Tragedy struck Teddy.
Teddy, when he was 19 years old in 1877, he was a...
His dad died?
Yeah, he was in his second year of college at Harvard. Was it?
Did they call him Teddy at Harvard?
I don't know.
They probably would don't like that.
But his father, the man who he loved and revered, died in 1879.
What number is that? There you go.
Teddy channeled his grief into working even harder. When his father died, he became very close and protective of his mother, Mitty, and would spend all
Mitty. Mitty and Teddy.
Spent all of his free time with his mother. Teddy graduated magna cum laude, Brandy, in 1880, and I bet he had a higher grade in economics than you did.
I didn't get no fucking
C plus and graduate with honors.
He didn't graduate magna cum on me.
Well, I bet he didn't.
He didn't get the name Teddy.
He didn't blow his economics professor.
You don't know that.
All right, so that's Teddy,
that at
right?
All,
that's,
you
it, that's, it, that's the introduction to Teddy. Now I'm going to talk about his first wife, Alice Hathaway Lee. We're going to introduce her now into the story, Brandy.
This is his wife.
Would be his wife, but now it's just shit. Alice Hathaway Lee. Alice Hathaway Lee was born on July 29th, 1861. Almost 100 years before I was born, Colonel.
But
in Chestnut Hills, Massachusetts, to a wealthy banker by the name of George Cabot Lee and his lovely wife, I don't know if she was lovely or not, I just threw that in there, Caroline Watts Haskell. It's like Eddie Haskell. Mm-hmm. Alice was a...
Chestnut Hills is a really cool place. You ever been there, Devil?
No.
Okay. Alice was a spirited child, Brandy, mm-hmm. who from an early age loved reading, music, and the arts. She was a good student, graduating at the top of her high school class. And she, like Teddy, never had to blow her economics professor.
Yeah. You don't know that
either. Bullet!
Alice.
Gobble!
Alice played the piano and enjoyed tennis, archery, and boating. Considered tall for the era, Colonel, she was 5'6".
That's a big woman back then, Timmy.
She had blue-gray eyes and long, wavy golden hair. And she was described as strikingly beautiful as well as charming.
See, I don't trust his judgment on
Well,
shit.
Yeah, when he said...
No, this is not me. This is history.
Chick yesterday that had a head ripped off was beautiful. I'm not...
Ava Dugan.
The most beautiful girl in the world, Olive Thomas. Yeah. Look like a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm. Been worn. All right. No, Alice Hathaway Lee was I looked at her. She was very attractive. Her family and friends called her Sunshine because of her cheerful disposition. I bet no one ever called you Sunshine today, Brandy.
I get called Sunshine all the fucking time, Dick.
Bully! I call bully on that one.
You call bully up your own ass. I don't give a shit.
And shenanigans.
Alice.
I don't care. I get called Sunshine all the time. It may be ironically.
Who calls you Sunshine?
No one calls her Sunshine.
I know. Ain't no Whatever. Sunshine. I made someone cry when yesterday. She gone.
Who did you make cry?
Oh, none of your fucking business now. Let's talk about Teddy.
Oh, now you,
I'm talking about Alice right now. Alice met Theodore. Alice met Theodore T.R., as he would like to be known.
I bet he would.
Roosevelt Jr. on October 18th, Colonel, 1878. Probably at the, they were probably getting ready for homecoming. At the home of one of her relatives and next-door neighbor, the Saltonstalls. Of the Boston Saltonstalls.
Oh, yeah.
There was the Sultans of Swing, Timmy. There was the original Sultans of Swing.
No. At Harvard University, Roosevelt was a classmate of her cousin, Richard Middlecott Dick Saltonstalls.
Dick's probably about
that. I
want
to be a Dick
proper.
It reminds me of, what's her name?
Who?
In the UK. Charles's wife?
Oh, Camilla Parker Bowles.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Bowley!
Camellia Parker Bowles.
Poor Camilla.
For Teddy.
She got a horse face.
For Teddy Roosevelt, it was love at first sight when he met the young and attractive Alice Hathaway Lee.
That's one of the great conspiracies.
What?
Cindy Lou asked about that. You got the choice between banging Lady Diana, Camilla Parker Bowles.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
And you're picking Camilla?
Yeah, well, you know.
You got to be out your damn mind.
Well, yeah, you know, let's preference. Establish that Chuck is no prize.
Yeah.
Right. Aside from his
but
title.
But he had his, I mean, he had both. He had Lady Di.
I know,
he
but
could have been. I would have never let her do any charity work or anything. I would have kept her at the house, and I would have.
Aside from her title, or his title, he's just Ichabod Crane.
All right. Let's don't get start a feud with the royal family, please.
Yes, because they listen.
Lady Beverly listens.
I know.
Lady Beverly agrees with me 100%.
Okay. Well, no.
I don't see anyone agreeing with you 100%.
Ever.
Well, like 40% sometimes.
Nope. For Teddy Roosevelt, it was love at first sight.
Bullet!
Later writing for his first encounter with Alice, he would say, "As long as I live, I shall never forget how sweetly she looked and how pretty she greeted me."
That's what I said the first time I met the devil, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't turn out as well as you thought, did it?
No, did not.
Hmm.
As with everything in his life,
it's about to get worse.
As with everything in his life, Teddy went all out to win Alice's affection. He wrote long love letters and poems. Teddy would pick wild daisies and deliver them to Alice each day. I'm painting a picture.
I see it.
Within days of meeting Teddy, Alice would tell her family and friends that he would. Oh no! Within days of meeting her, Teddy would tell his family and friends that he would someday marry the lovely Alice, and he would be the happiest man in the world.
Sounds like a stalker.
Mm-hmm. Within weeks of courting, Teddy proposed marriage to the young
stalker.
Alice.
Stalker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they probably didn't have Tinder back then. So.
Yeah, like,
but anyway, Alice had many suitors, so she was not quick to accept Teddy's proposal.
And bitch, Brandy, I ask you one time. You don't say yes right then. You have to. You are
Bullet.
You're done. Bullet. Bullet. Go on with you, girl. Go on with you. I gave you one opportunity to marry the colonel.
Yeah. Hold
marry
on.
The titty.
Hold on. Yeah, you really should not cut people off at one opportunity.
Actually, I asked Renee out three times before she ever agreed to it.
Bet she regrets that.
I bet she does.
Oh, no. I got to once. You know, it's like a big bass. You
dangle that little minnow
in front of her, and then all of a sudden you reel it in, and then you stuff it, mount it up on your wall. And
nope. So Teddy was single-minded in his stalking. He insinuated himself with her family and despaired when competitors threatened his suit.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Anybody but a president, that's stalking.
Is stalking in your script there, Timmy, or is she ad-libbing that?
She's ad-libbing.
Because I feel like she's fouling the content of
our podcast. She really is, and I worked hard on that script.
After rejecting his initial proposal, Alice agreed in late January 1880 to marry Theodore.
Oh,
probably because he threatened to kill her.
Yeah. she was. Was this before or after duct tape?
I will kill everything you love. Theodore.
Put on some lotion.
Exactly. Yeah. Titty was elated when his marriage proposal was finally accepted by the.
Bully! Bully! Bully!
God damn it. By the 19-year-old Alice Hathaway Lee. And on his 22nd birthday, October 27th, 1880, she became Roosevelt's first wife.
Bully!
They were wed on Roosevelt's. Oh, here we go. They were wed on Roosevelt's 22nd birthday, in case you didn't know from the previous sentence. October 27th, 1880, again, in Brookline's First Parish Unitarian Church.
Bully!
Bully. So she didn't know. She learned on her wedding night about the special birthday gifts that you have to give men.
I guess. I don't know.
Blowjobs?
Yeah.
They honeymooned at Tranquility, the Roosevelt home at Oyster Bay, and subsequently moved in with Theodore's family at 6 West 57th Street in New York City.
Boy.
While Titty attended Columbia Law School.
Would you quit calling him Titty? His name is T.R. Right now.
Right now.
He's changed to T.R.
He's like fucking Puff Daddy. Every 5 years he changes his name.
You know, I believe I will go. I would like CW added to my
Your introduction.
Introduction.
All right, I'll work on that. Mm-hmm.
People call me CW from all time to time, so.
So Titty attended Columbia Law School, apprenticed with his uncle Robert Roosevelt, and began writing the Naval War of 1812. Alice seamlessly joined in life with her husband's mother and siblings.
Bully.
Theodore and Alice later moved to New York City.
New York City.
To live with his widowed mother, Martha Mitty Bullock.
Mitty Titty. Titty Mitty.
Mm-hmm, Roosevelt.
Titty and Mitty.
The couple were optimistic about the future and anxiously looked forward to starting a family of their own. They participated in the social world of elite New York. It was in New York where Titty would study law at Columbia University. He didn't stay long at law school.
I turned down Columbia.
I sure you know. Opting instead to join
school
the
School of Broadcasting.
Columbia House Tape Club.
You know, let me tell you this. Our listeners probably don't remember the Columbia Tape Club, but you get a different album every month.
Oh, yeah.
But if you join you send them a penny. You have to tape a penny onto this thing from the back of a magazine.
And you got like 10.
And you get 10. Well, my brother, he had like 15 different names he would have. And we'd have like 400 albums coming.
Jesus Christ.
I did that under a bunch of different names.
Yeah, they keep sending them. Mm-hmm.
They never check.
You're only like 14 years old. What are they going to do, sue you? Yeah. They keep sending you shit?
Yeah, but then you had to start paying for them after the first month. And,
then you had to buy an album every
month.
But
it'd take them like 3 months before they would ever catch up to you that you weren't going to pay. And they'd say, you know, dear Mr. Walters,
I can't believe they're not in business anymore.
Bully!
So anyway, he opted to join the New York State Assembly as a representative for New York City.
But don't you have to get elected?
Becoming the youngest to serve in that position.
I mean, I
don't know.
I would elect to serve in the Ohio State Legislature, but I don't think it's up to me.
Well, maybe at that time you just got appointed.
Bully.
Okay.
Colonel?
Not long after Roosevelt was speeding through various public service positions, including Captain of the National Guard, we thank you for your service, and Minority Leader of the New York Assembly. Meanwhile, the newlyweds spent all their free time together. They were young and very much in love.
And she was captive. Yeah, it sounds like a very happy relationship.
They toured Europe. Were they like a band? They toured Europe for 5 months in 1881. Upon their return, Titty ran successfully for state assemblyman on the Republican ticket. In October of 1882, the Roosevelts occupied their own home at 55 West 45th Street. That winter, Alice moved to Theodore's Albany boarding house and learned about Empire State politics. In the summer of 1883, Alice became pregnant. Planning for a large family, Theodore and Alice purchased land near Tranquility, New York, on which to erect Lee Home.
Bully erect.
Yeah, they was going to...
A large rambling house.
Yeah, he was building this house in her name and going to name it after her.
Okay. Theodore went west to the Dakota Territory to hunt bison in September of 1883.
Have you ever hunted bison, Colonel?
And bought...
One time we was looking at God a bunch damn it. Of them. We never let Renee off the hook on this one because she called them beeson. Beeson, yeah. I don't know why that's... We call that a Reneeism because she gets words wrong from time to time.
I had a boss that would call it a quesadilla.
Of course I did.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are good.
They're delicious. Get
them at Chipotle.
With the tortillas and the
tortillas.
And the cheese.
Yeah, they did tortillas too.
I like
they
the
sell
tortillas.
Them at Chipotle.
Quesadillas.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so Theodore goes to the Dakota Territory to hunt bison in September of 1883, and he buys the Maltese Cross Ranch. Where the hell, what's he doing with all this property? Does he think he's going to live there?
Yeah, they're loaded.
Later that fall, as her pregnancy progressed, Alice returned to her mother-in-law's house in New York City, in part because Roosevelt was frequently in Albany.
Albany. Damn, right.
Upstate New York.
I've heard it both ways. Cocksucker.
Probably done it both ways.
Oh, they've done it.
I've done it all the way.
He was there over the weekend.
That was a good one, Timmy.
Bully.
You can't see me and Timmy fist bumped, but that was a good
one. Fisting? No, nobody can see you two fisting. Perfect. He was there over the weekend of February 9th and through 11th.
We're coming up to a very tragic event. So
well, then shut your hole and let me get through it.
I want you to bring this to life. I want you to reach down deep in your diaphragm and bring this to life.
Okay, I'm not reaching my diaphragm.
Whatever feelings you got in your core, and I know you're shallow, but whatever, you know, I mean,
bring this to life. Feel the pain.
Try to pretend to be human, all right?
Yeah, just pretend. Just pretend.
Like it's a think of it as like a puppy.
Pretend you have a soul.
Yeah. Well, that's tough to do.
He was there over the weekend of February 9th through 11th. As he left again for the legislature, his mother became ill and Alice's mother arrived. On the evening of February 12th, 1884, Alice gave birth to a vigorous 8 3/4-pound daughter. A telegram arrived announcing the birth of his first child, a healthy baby girl.
So what would he say, Colonel?
Bully, bully!
A time for celebration bully, bully. Of a beautiful new life and a bright, happy future
things
suddenly
good
turned
right now.
Ugly and dark when another telegram arrived the following day. This time an urgent message requesting Roosevelt hurry back to New York City.
New York City.
His mother, Mittie, and his wife were both deathly ill, dying at the Roosevelt family home. Roosevelt had known of his mother's grave illness, but it was a shocking blow to hear the news of his wife's rapid decline after giving birth. Without delay, Roosevelt fought terrible weather to reach his wife's bedside, where she lay after slipping into a coma. Suffering from what was known as Bright's disease, a kidney disorder likely hidden from detection during her 9th month of pregnancy. Alice and Mittie were in opposite areas of the house, and Roosevelt could not be with both women at the same time. But he was with his mother when she succumbed to the feverish illness of typhoid. She was only 49 years old. Within hours of his mother's death, Roosevelt watched in horror as his beloved wife took her last breath. Alice languished for several hours while her husband held her, dying the afternoon of February 14th, 1884.
Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. That's some fucked up stuff, right?
Alice was only 22 years old. Damn. At the age of 25, Theodore Roosevelt was now a father and a widower.
And an orphan.
The diary entry of Theodore Roosevelt, dated Thursday, February 14th, 1884, was marked with a large black X on the top of the page with a brief statement of immense grief. The grieving Theodore wrote a private memorial and tribute about Alice.
And Chuck is going to read that in his serious voice.
She was beautiful in face and form, and lovelier still in spirit. As a flower she grew, and as a fair young flower she died. Her life has always been in the sunshine. There had never come to her a single great sorrow, and none ever knew her who did not live and revere her for her bright, sunny temper and her saintly unselfishness. Fair, pure, and joyous as a maiden, loving, tender, and happy as a young wife, when she had just become a mother, when her life seemed to have just begun, and when the years seemed so bright before her, then, by a strange and terrible fate, death came to her. And when my heart's dearest died, the light went from my life forever. That was a beautiful, beautiful tribute to his young bride.
Yeah, that was also quoted by Richard Nixon the day he resigned. He quoted, you know, he was talking about ups and downs, and yeah, he quoted.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did do that.
Doesn't seem very appropriate.
Well,
no, he was like, you think this is a bad day, shit.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And that was all he wrote then or ever. He blotted Alice out of his life, never even mentioning her in his autobiography. It was simply too painful for him to remember the joy and light that he and Alice had enjoyed together. A double Roosevelt funeral was held at the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church a couple days later. Roosevelt had his daughter christened with her mother's namesake, Alice Lee Roosevelt, the following day.
Did he get a BOGO?
I don't know. However, Roosevelt could not bear to call her Alice and instead referred to her as Baby Lee.
BOGO is buy one, get one.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Continue, Brandy.
It's like it's like shoe carnival when you get a pair of shoes and
a
you
double funeral.
Get no, no, no. Off. I got it. Okay. I just ignored it.
Okay, continue, Brandy.
Buy one, get one. I mean, if you're gonna have two funerals, you ought to get a deal.
He has enough money. He doesn't need that shit. Let's see. But his job as an assemblyman soon came to an end. Unable to be idle, he retreated to the great outdoors and a strenuous life on his ranch in the North Dakota Badlands. There he lived as a cowboy and cattle rancher, leaving his infant daughter in the care of his elder sister.
Yeah, he would always be distant from his daughter.
Well.
Because she reminded him of.
Well, that's not her fault.
Well, I know, but.
Bully.
In solitude, away from his family and politics, he continued his passion for writing that he'd begun in college.
I got to do sad bullies now.
Already a published author, Roosevelt wasted no time and immediately delved into his first Western book, Hunting Trips of a Ranchman.
You've read that, haven't you, Carl?
Published in 1885.
It's not a bad book. I mean, it's a little wordy, but...
Bully!
You should be used to that. Yeah. I have always said that I would not have been president had it not been for my experience in North Dakota. Returning to political life in 1886, Roosevelt was defeated for the New York City mayorship. Around the same time, he married his second wife, Edith Kermit. Oh. Caro.
Kermit Caro?
They name his
Edith Kermit Caro.
They name his one of his sons Kermit.
The frog. Whom he'd known as a child. They had watched the funeral procession of Abraham Lincoln from a window in his grandfather's house on Union Square in New York City.
Yeah, there's a photo of that. You can see.
Yeah, but imagine being that woman. Like, I wouldn't marry him after Alice because he'll never love you as much. He'll never, you know.
Yeah. Well, they had a long life together.
Well, but still. Roosevelt soon resumed his career trajectory, first as a civil service commissioner, then as a New York City police commissioner, and the assistant U.S. Navy secretary under President William McKinley. Taking a keen interest in the Spanish-American War, Roosevelt left his government post to organize a volunteer cavalry known as the Rough Riders.
Bullet! Bullet, bullet!
Which he led on a bold charge up San Juan Hill in the Battle of San Juan Heights in 1898.
You know, and he will receive, and we'll get to this later, but he'll receive the Congressional Medal of Honor for that in like 2001. But he was really...
And we'll get to it later.
Yeah, but it's really he was really reckless. I read this description of he was like on a horse when they get ready to charge up the hill. And one of his soldiers, one of his men, Rough Riders, was crouched down. And he demanded that the guy was crouched down. He says, I'm on a horse. You know, stand up, be a man. The guy stands up and gets his head blown.
Yeah, that's, that's a big move. Roosevelt was elected governor of New York in 1898. Roosevelt's progressive policies in New York ran him afoul of his own party.
Afoul.
So Republican party bosses plotted to quiet him by naming him on the McKinley ticket in the thankless post of vice president.
Yeah, you want to get rid of somebody back in, you make him vice president because then it wasn't like it. Now it's like it puts you in the spotlight and, you know, you're like the heir apparent. But back then, the vice presidency, pretty much he was a dead-end job.
However, after his reelection in 1901, President McKinley was assassinated.
Yeah.
At age 42, Theodore Teddy Roosevelt became the youngest man to assume the U.S. presidency. Roosevelt's presidency is distinguished by his dedication to prosecuting monopolies under the Sherman Antitrust Act. Out of this commitment grew a benchmark of his first term, the Square Deal, a domestic program that embraced reform of the American workplace, government regulation of industry, and consumer protection, with the overall aim of helping all classes of people. Roosevelt's charismatic personality and impassioned combination of pounding fist,
bullet,
emphatic,
bullet,
and emphatic rhetoric undoubtedly helped in pushing his agenda.
Well, he shot bully. You just do whatever the man says.
In 1905, Teddy Roosevelt walked his niece, Eleanor Roosevelt, down the aisle. Theodore's brother, Elliot, had
she
died.
She was not
in
an attractive woman, Colonel.
She was not even as good looking as Camilla Parker Bowles.
You ready?
Yeah.
Good. All right, so he walks his niece, Eleanor, down the aisle.
She was a lesbian, too, wasn't she?
I think she had a relationship with another woman, yeah.
So she married her fifth cousin once removed, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
FDR.
Around the same time, believing that America needed to take its rightful place on the world stage, Roosevelt initiated a massive public relations effort. Engaging his unofficial policy of speak softly and carry a big stick, Roosevelt bulked up the U.S. Navy and created the Great White Fleet, sending it on world tour as a testament to U.S. military power. He also helped expedite completion of the Panama Canal by providing tact approval of the Panama Revolution with funds.
Yeah, so what they did there,
and Panama, blockade.
Panama was part of Colombia.
And
they tried to buy Colombia to create, they tried to buy the part of Colombia where Panama is to build a canal. Colombia wouldn't go for it. So instead of giving up, they just created a revolution and funded a revolution, and that founded the nation of Panama. And that government, because of our support, allowed us to build the Panama Canal.
President Roosevelt was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1906 for his role in negotiating the end of the Russo-Japanese War. Roosevelt believed that if Japan had devastated Russia, it would lead to an imbalance of power in the Pacific, one that the United States would eventually have to realign, but at a disastrous cost.
And who was the head of Russia at the time? Who was the head of Russia at the time of the Russo-Japanese War?
The Tsar.
Yes, Nicholas.
Roosevelt's international stance was the
impetus.
I know what impotent is.
Impetus.
All right. For impetus. The Roosevelt.
It's like the thing that
drives
it's
you.
It's like the thing that makes it happen.
Inspires you.
Makes it overcome inertia. Well, I used inertia.
For the Roosevelt corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, which claims the right to intervene in cases of wrongdoing by a Latin American or any other nation. Though some critics assert that the doctrine designates the United States as the policeman of the Western world. While it is true Theodore Roosevelt supported desegregation and women's suffrage, his administration took an often passive, sometimes contradictory approach to improving civil rights.
Yeah, so he has a mixed record.
He defended Minnie Cox.
He defended Minnie Cox?
Who experienced racial discrimination in the South while working as a postmaster, and strongly supported a women's right to vote in 1912. Roosevelt was also the first president to entertain an African-American, Booker T. Washington, as a guest at the White House. However, the political backlash from the event was so severe, he never invited Washington back again.
Yeah, it was a big thing at the time, mm-hmm. for the first African-American to have dinner at the White House.
Took a lot of balls for him to do it.
Yeah, but he never did it again.
He paid a price for it.
Yeah, politically.
One of Roosevelt's less admirable actions.
He made his point, though.
Mm-hmm. One of Roosevelt's less admirable actions regarding civil rights occurred in 1906. The War Department Inspector General had investigated an incident in Brownsville, Texas, involving black troops who had been accused of a shooting rampage that left one white person dead and another wounded. The Inspector General's report recommended the president dismiss the soldiers because none would confess.
So he kind of had a mix.
Roosevelt waited until after the November elections, after hundreds.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hundreds of thousands of blacks cast their votes for Republican candidates across the North, then dismissed all 167 black soldiers from the service. None of them will receive their pensions.
Yeah, that's a dick move.
Roosevelt has also been deemed the country's first environmentalist president. In 1906, he signed the National Monuments Act, protecting sites like the Grand Canyon and preserving countless wildlife sanctuaries, national forests, and federal game reserves. He also made headway with the nation's infrastructure, instigating 21 federal irrigation projects.
Could you imagine what kind of bungee jumping you could do in the Grand Canyon if they didn't designate it a national treasure?
Mm-hmm. It'd be cool.
The presidential mansion officially became known as the White House when Roosevelt had the name emblazoned on his stationery. He hired the most illustrious architects of the time, McKim, Meade, and White, to renovate the decrepit mansion. During his presidential term, the White House served as a lively playground for the Roosevelt's six children, due in no small part to the president's passion for sports and books. Each room of the home was enlivened with activity from crawl space to library. Giving the pony a ride in the elevator was but one of many stunts of the Theodore Roosevelt
the
White House.
Rides.
According to memoirs published in 1934 by
Uncle Teddy,
I. Cooper,
not another pony ride.
Edith Kermit.
According to memoirs published in 1934 by Ike Hoover, the White House's chief usher. Teddy Roosevelt's relationship with his oldest daughter Alice, would remain strained most of his life. There had been speculation that he somehow blamed his daughter for his first wife's death. In reality, though, his daughter was a constant reminder of his mother. Despite all of his accomplishments and large new family, Teddy could not shake the grief that would remain with him until he died. Alice's relationship was always strained with both her father and stepmother. Despite their turbulent relationship and Edith's demanding personality, Alice was well cared for, so much so that when Alice developed a mild form of polio and the muscles in one leg started to grow shorter than the other leg, it was Edith's nightly ministrations and physical therapy.
Ministrations.
Okay.
It's when you...
No, I understand
minister,
what it is.
Basically, that's where the word ministry comes from, to serve other people.
I'm glad we have you on podcast, Colonel, because you bring light to so many of these areas in which she is a dim... I don't want to say she's dim. I wouldn't be right.
Well, clearly she didn't blow her English professor, Timmy.
Continue, Brandy.
Fuckers.
She just took the D.
It spared Alice any further disability or after effects. In an age defined by social conformity, Alice always bucked the system, and the public adored her for it.
Conformity is
she smoked cigarettes in public, rode unchaperoned cars with men, partied late into the night, engaged in voodoo, and was seen placing bets with a bookie.
All right, read this again.
She even had a pet snake in the White House. During her father's presidency, Alice created scandal after scandal defining social norms.
Let's read that part again. We want to see who this sounds like.
Yeah, it reminds me of somebody. It's like
it's right on the tip of my
tongue. Yeah, who is it now? Could you just read that last part again, what she was doing? And what she
describe her again? Alice, the daughter of youngest.
She was doing
daughter,
voodoo. She was creating scandal.
Smoking
marijuana.
Why do I need to read it? Fucktard over here's got it covered.
Please read.
Alice smoked cigarettes in public, rode unchaperoned in cars with men, partied late into the night, engaged in voodoo, and was seen placing bets with a bookie.
Yeah. It's Brandy.
It is the devil.
It is.
It's your spirit animal there.
She is.
Bully.
Alice's
devil.
Alice's headstrong and unabashed personality once led her father to famously quip to his friend, "I can either run the country or I can attend to Alice, but I cannot possibly do both."
Oh man, that's to a T.
When her father assumed the presidency, Alice became an instant celebrity and fashion icon. So much so that a particular shade of blue became known as Princess Alice Blue.
Yeah, she was. So she got in. She was in the tabloids quite a bit.
Yep, but they loved her.
Much like yourself, Brandy.
No, sure.
Yeah, you were in the tabloids. Now, quick to recognize the value of such celebrity, President Roosevelt sent Alice on the infamous Imperial Cruise.
Oh, it's infamous.
Oh, it's infamous, all right.
Bully.
She made it infamous.
What happened?
Billed as the largest diplomatic mission in U.S. history, the junket's participants, Secretary of War William Howard Taft, Alice's future husband, Nicholas Longworth. Longworth Hall down here is named after.
Yep.
22 other congressmen, 7 senators, and various diplomats and government officials. Alice made headlines at every stop of the journey. Imagine that. She was photographed attending sumo wrestling matches, having tea with the Meiji Emperor in Japan, and Empress Dowager Cixi of the Qing Dynasty of China.
Can skinny people be sumo wrestlers?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, you gotta wear the big diaper, but you still can do it. She even jumped fully clothed into the ship's pool, coaxed the congressman to join her.
Mm.
The press reported her extravagant purchases of Chinese silk and a pearl necklace given to her by the Cuban government. Now, I'm not really sure if that's actual pearls or, you know, a metaphor for something else.
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah, I know. Alice married Congressman Nicholas Longworth of
Ohio.
Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. A man 14 years her senior.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
Good for her.
You don't think that's gross? And yet when you complain about my dates?
Yeah. Double standard.
I say good for her.
I say when Timmy dates somebody that's in his age appropriate range.
25, 26.
Bullet!
Bullet.
Bullet for Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
So she marries this guy, but it was a mismatched and awkward marriage that led both to seek emotional and carnal solace with other people.
That means they fucked someone else.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. Carnal is of the sexual nature.
Yeah, Brandy.
It's generally accepted.
I don't know who you all are explaining shit to.
We're mansplaining.
We're mansplaining
to you. Yeah, I don't know why you're doing it.
And there's a reason, and I know this is not going to be popular with our listeners.
Our female listeners.
But there's a reason it's called mansplaining, because sometimes you don't know shit. Okay? Now, Logan wrecked his car, okay, Timmy?
Uh-huh.
And, oh, good. We're going to get a story.
Yes.
And Renee. Yay. Logan's car is a Honda.
Right, I've been wishing upon a star for that.
It does not have an axle, the rear axle. It's got a 4, you know, independent suspensions. And he wasn't going very fast, and he spun, and he hit the curb, and it bent one of the suspension bars. And Renee's telling me he must have been going really fast to bend one of those. I said, well, tell me exactly, Renee, what your knowledge of suspensions is. What kind of suspension does he have in that car? I don't know. I said, well, what kind of axle does he have in there? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's steel. It's got to be strong. I said, well, he doesn't have any axle in there, Renee. See, that's the thing.
So you had to do some mansplaining.
You're standing here arguing with me. You have absolutely no knowledge base of the subject we're talking about, but you are arguing with me.
Women do that.
They do. So I said, sit your ass down and let me take care of this.
See, Brandy, he's just trying to help you. He's not saying that you're different than any other woman. He's just saying he's trying to, you know.
Just trying to be helpful.
Breaking it down for you.
But yeah. Yeah. Giving you the word. Bullet!
Perfect.
So it's generally accepted that Alice had a long and ongoing affair with Senator William Burrough of Ohio that produced Alice's daughter, Paulina Longworth.
That's scandalous, Brandy.
Ooh-wee.
What do you think about that, Brandy? Your thoughts?
Good for her.
Not good for her. She was...
She's banging a senator.
Is she married?
Good for her.
No, she was married.
She's married to a congressman. She's banging a senator.
Oh, see, that's a double president. Standard.
Yeah. That's bicarmelism.
And you know what? He was the damn Democrat. Yeah. You know? I mean, that's the worst part of this whole thing.
Maybe she wasn't... She was...
No. I mean, they had a mixed baby. She's a progressive and he's a Democrat, but it's just
a mixed baby.
It's mixed.
All right, continue, Colonel.
Now, when Teddy Roosevelt left office in 1909,
I like that, Colonel. I like that ought. Every time you use ought, I missed the whole ought thing.
I did. We missed it for 10 years, Tim.
Years we could have used the ought, yeah, and we didn't do it. Now we regret it because, you know what, we won't be around the next time the aughts come around.
No, but we'll do more podcasts with the aughts in.
Okay.
Just
I love
so
the
we
aughts.
Can do that.
You like aughts, Brandy?
I don't care.
He felt assured that
Do you feel that she's engaged in this podcast?
She's about engaged in this podcast as she is with 2 a.m. Wednesday night sex with Dave. That's about how engaged she is.
How do you know? How would you know?
Me and Dave talk.
No, you don't.
We do.
He's got Periscope.
plus, I got cameras.
Jesus.
Plus, I look in your windows.
That would explain a lot.
Because I know how engaged women are. I mean, if you've been married for any length of time, there comes a time where the man...
They're mailing it in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the man will wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning feeling very passionate. Mm. And, you know,
because that's the mid-morning wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the women don't respect that. Do you respect the morning wood?
I don't give a damn.
And you could cut diamonds with the son of a bitch. It's like, come on, baby. I got one here just waiting.
It's a gift from God to them.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, hey, the orange is right here and it's ripe. Grab it before it goes bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't wait.
Don't waste this son of a bitch. You know, so.
And they don't appreciate it. They don't know.
They do not appreciate it, Timmy. They do not often appreciate it. So you wake them up anyway.
They say, bully.
Bully. Woman, bully, bully. So you wake them up, and they're like, okay, hurry up. Now, the one thing you don't ever want to say to a man, if you have a man with premature ejaculation issues, when he starts to do it, just tell him, hurry up. Because it'll take him about 4 hours.
In my
that.
Mind, there's never no such thing as premature ejaculation. Well, whenever it happens, it happens.
As I say, it's like the Kentucky Derby. The first one across the finish line wins.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what are
how
your
I
thoughts
view.
On that, Brandy?
You two are idiots.
Not engaged.
So,
I'm as engaged as I can possibly be in this fucked up conversation.
So they peel off the minimal amount of clothes that they could peel off.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they hike up their skirt or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Nightgown.
Yeah, they don't even take it. They don't even strip down. They just whatever.
Even pull the underwear all the way off.
It's
down to their knees.
It's kind of like. Okay,
hurry up.
It's like getting an oil change or something. It's like, how long is this going to take me, you know?
Like Jiffy Lube.
Exactly. So and then that's the level of engagement I feel from you. Typically,
that was
when
the
you're
longest,
doing the,
most convoluted bullshit analogy story ever.
But it was accurate?
It was.
If you could make it
through that story,
you
maybe.
You could argue that he is accurate.
I'm not going to argue with him at all because I'll just make him talk. So, carry on.
I'm just saying, if you
no,
were
just yammering.
While you was
yammering.
Doing your part.
Can I ask a question? Serious question, Brandy. When you and Dave are having relations.
You cannot ask me that question.
Do you play Candy Crush?
Yeah, I mean, are you watching SportsCenter? What are you doing? I mean, watching a Lifetime movie there? Or it's like, oh.
Checking out your net.
And Dave's thinking everything's going good. And she's like, oh, no, she didn't. Oh, no, she didn't.
She's
didn't.
She's watching The Walking Dead or something.
Yeah. I mean, could you?
Be a hell of a lot more entertaining than this conversation.
Is there any way? And I'm trying to sleep. I'm trying to think.
Are you sure? I'm curious. Because I don't think that comes into play at any point in time that you're trying to think. Now you're just a lying motherfucker.
I'm just wondering, short of being unconscious or dead, could you be less engaged?
Right now? No.
I mean, Timmy has brought this painful thing to us. I mean, this thing has just reached into my heart and tore my soul out.
Has it touched you, Colonel?
Oh, yeah, it's touched me. I mean, this song
or he's
this,
touched
this
himself.
Movie.
Kind of story.
This story to me, it makes me want to touch myself.
Yeah. But yet, Brandy, she's disengaged.
She's over there.
She has no heart. She has
no
soul. No,
she's eating a piece of candy, playing Candy Crush. I don't understand.
I don't understand how you can be so heartless that this story doesn't touch you.
When they cr-
you
I
know
mean,
what? It might have touched me until this just fountain of bullshit just came.
Well, all I'm saying is, if we're going to be a threesome.
We're not.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Not even.
You know, Timmy has had prostitutes that have shown far more enthusiasm than you.
Because he hasn't talked to them as much as you just sat here and talked to me. You want to give me $5? I will act like I'm interested.
You owe it to our listeners.
Yeah. Some of these people invest their time. Can't you invest a little bit of your soul?
They work hard all day, just want to relax and listen to the podcast. And you cannot bring it to yourself to give it all you've got to bring this podcast to life.
And can I, listeners, I apologize. I can only control what I do.
Can you? Because it appears that you have developed Tourette's. It appears that you have actually developed fucking Tourette's. Because you have not paused to take a fucking breath from yammering on and on and on for goddamn 5 motherfucking minutes.
I think it's longer, actually.
Yeah. So you know what? You can sit and starve to death, Tim, because you're encouraging his ass, and you're the one who's not had lunch.
I would say now that she's engaged.
You asked for it.
Continue with the story, Colonel. Don't ever disrupt you.
For the love of God, continue with the fucking story. You got 2 goddamn pages, and we're on hour 3 of you talking. 2 pages.
You seem a little upset, devil.
Are you okay?
Eat that piece of chocolate, give it 10 minutes, seriously, and you'll feel better.
Is it your visitor? Is it your visitor?
You know what? I usually got to put on my Google Calendar, and it didn't pop up. So
I'm sure that's not the only thing that's not popped up for you lately.
Okay, now that we have your attention, let's resume the story.
I would like to. Fucking I mean, jackass. It's really inconsiderate of her taking us so far off track.
Yeah, I mean, if you could just participate.
You know, the one thing that people depend on us to do, if nothing else, is to stay with the script.
Yeah.
Stay on track.
Yeah. And
no bantering, nothing.
Educate them.
Yeah, educate them. Exactly. And then you got her coming in being all rude.
Yeah.
Getting all up in your face.
Exactly. Swinging at me over here, knocking my bottle of water off the table. I don't know what
apologize,
that was
about. Apologize, Brandy. Seriously. You owe him an apology.
I don't.
I think you owe him a
apology. Well, I've been nothing but kind to you.
You know, you ever heard the words cold day in hell?
I think that means she's not going to apologize.
Well, you know what? We've grown used to her peccadillos, so we'll...
My peccadillos? Did you just use the word peccadillos? Tim, did you just use the fucking word peccadillos? Jesus fucking Christ.
Peccadillos.
Continue, Colonel. Continue
like
with the story.
Playing cards with my sister's kids.
Would you mind if I continued with the story?
I wish a motherfucker would continue with the story.
It's about the President of the United States.
But have some respect, for Christ's sake.
Teddy Roosevelt. Lovely wife dies. His daughter's growing up.
Teddy's wife died. We got it. It's sad. Go ahead.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The girl died and his wife died and his mother died.
She just had a kid.
It was a long time ago. I turned the page.
Jesus Christ, you are heartless, mother. Okay. So let me get back to the story because it's intriguing and Timmy has really written a fine script.
Is it intriguing? I wouldn't know.
Timmy has painted a Monet here for us.
I wouldn't know.
A Monet.
A Monet.
There you go.
So having enjoyed his travels in Europe and Middle East. Now, remember, Alice is going about Europe just banging everybody, having illegitimate babies and whatnot.
I don't think that's what happened.
She was a loose cannon.
She was a loose cannon and a loose woman.
She was... what was Bill Clinton's brother's name? Oh, no, Jimmy Carter's
Billy
brother.
Carter.
Billy Carter.
Billy Beer.
She enjoyed more... He enjoyed his travels in Europe and the Middle East with his family as a young boy, as well as his 2 years as a rancher in the Dakotas and countless hunting trips. It seemed only logical that Roosevelt's next move would be embarking on an African safari.
Yeah, this is post presidents.
Yeah. Restless in 1912, Teddy went to Africa. After 2 years of collecting specimens, much like you did in college, devil.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking engagements and traveling.
That's pretty good. You have to admit that.
Including as the special ambassador to England for the funeral of King Edward VII. Roosevelt, they sent him over when the king died. They sent Roosevelt.
I wonder if any relatives of Camilla Parker Bowles were in attendance.
She was probably in attendance.
Roosevelt became disgruntled with Taft's weak enforcement of progressive policies and his lack of engagement.
Yeah, he decided not like Brandy then
to make another run for the presidency. To do so, though, meant launching a third-party initiative.
The Bulls.
As Taft was running on a Republican Party ticket, so Roosevelt formed the Progressive Party, also known as the Bull Moose Party.
Bull Moose.
And began campaigning for the 1912 election.
Moose and
Squirrel. Who was the Democrat, Colonel?
Huh?
Who was the Democrat? Don't know, do you?
I do not know.
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Wilson was.
I don't like he knew that.
I did know that. I don't know.
Clearly, you did not.
No, because I'm coming up to the most badass part of any president we ever had. This is who we need as president today.
All right. What happens, Colonel?
Because we talk about presidents and politicians being, you know, tough. Uh-huh. Tough. Now, I ain't never met anybody in my lifetime that could last 5 minutes with me in the parking lot of a bar. They ain't tough.
Any president. Some bitch.
But you're implying that you are.
I think Obama might be able to take me.
You're implying that you're tough and you've got lady hands.
I'm tougher than no son of a bitch.
But what happened to Teddy then?
You've got lady hands and mom jeans.
Yeah, they kind of like lady hands.
They're not lady. Mom jeans? These are Levi's in the black. How are those mom jeans? Ain't no mom wearing these. Ain't them wet. They ain't wearing them like I am. Oh, no, they ain't.
They don't fill them out like he
does.
What? Unzipped, pulled up to his nipples? You're right.
Now listen to this. This is tough, goddammit.
Yeah, this is tough. This is an interesting part.
He's
delivering a speech on a campaign trail in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he got shot in the chest.
Well, he kept it moving.
By John Schrank. Shockingly, Teddy continued his speech for 90 minutes before seeing a doctor.
Yeah, you gotta keep that shit moving.
He just said, that's one of the hazards of the business.
He's right.
Because remember, he became president because McKinley got killed.
Right.
He said, no, I ain't going to beat her like that pussy McKinley.
McKinley got killed in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Now, afterwards, probes, and you know a little bit about that, devil, and an x-ray showed that the bullet had lodged in his chest muscle, but did not penetrate the pleura. Now, the pleura.
Have you ever pleura penetrated, Brandy?
No, I'm good.
I have actually had my pleura
penetrated.
I
wish somebody would penetrate my pleura now.
I have had...
Of course you have.
I broke 3 ribs one time.
Did your mom do it on the kitchen table?
Before she died of the cancer.
Right.
It's a true story. I broke 3 ribs.
Of course it is.
Went to the hospital. They told me that I have very serious contusions, but nothing was broken.
That means bruises, by the way.
Yeah, bruises, devil. So anyway, I have these 3 broken ribs. Me and Renee and I are sitting next to... You're getting close to me, devil, and it's scaring me. It's making me uncomfortable.
You're concerned. You're giving him cause. Pause for concern.
Anyway, I got these 3 broken ribs. The hospital tells me I'm okay, but, you know, I got a broken bone in my hand. And I'm okay. So 2 days later, we're pulling into the store, and I cough. You know, one of those coughs that you just can't control. They come out of nowhere.
Did they hold your balls while you coughed?
No, I was in a car.
He held his own balls.
I had my hand on my balls at the time. But truly, I coughed, and I couldn't cover my mouth. And when I coughed, I just spit blood all over the steering wheel.
It's like you had the consumption.
Yeah. And I said to Renee, I said, I don't know what that is, but it can't be a good thing.
She's invading your personal space as you speak.
Yeah, she is, but that does not bother me. I'll get over it. Not today. Don't pinch me, devil.
He's come up to the climax.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I'm about to
get on with it?
He's about the climax.
Can we get on with it?
I went to the emergency room. I went to a different emergency room.
You know what? Here's the thing. He lived.
One of my ribs was actually poking. Your lungs have this jelly-like membrane around them called the pleuris. Uh-huh. Hence the term pleurisy. If that gets inflamed, it's very painful.
And there's more of one
like
of them.
Like the story?
There's two of them that makes them plural.
Yeah. So one of mine was being poked by my rib, and it was bleeding, and it was bleeding into my lung, and I was coughing up blood. And they taped my ribs in a very painful way.
He was brain dead.
I had a softball tournament that 2 days later, and I played 5 games.
Really?
I did, yeah.
Brain dead.
So Renee can verify that story. So anyway,
I'm sure she'll be excited too.
But they decided to leave this bullet in place. It was in his chest muscle, and he carried the bullet with him the rest of his life.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
It's amazing.
Now, because of the bullet wound, Roosevelt was taken off the campaign trail in the final weeks of the race, which ended on Election Day, November 5. Though the other two campaigns stopped their own campaigns, Roosevelt was in the hospital. They resumed it once he was released. The bullet lodged in his chest, exacerbated, that means made worse, devil.
Like you talking?
His rheumatoid arthritis, and prevented him from doing his daily stint of exercises.
Oh, he probably had a big medicine ball that he tossed around.
Roosevelt soon became obese. Mm. Now, Roosevelt lost to Woodrow Wilson in 1912 election in a rather close popular vote. He considered running again in 1916, winning the progressive nomination, but bowed out in favor of Republican Party nominee Charles Hughes, who obviously did not win.
That's a bad choice, then.
Yeah, it was. His political aspirations, however, would soon prove to be far from over. In 1914, when the war broke out in Europe, Roosevelt became frustrated with Wilson's stance on neutrality.
He was a war hawk.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to go to war. He like criticized the president's policy. When we finally declared war, Roosevelt said, "It's about goddamn time," and he requested permission to head a volunteer division for service in France in World War I. But Wilson and the Secretary of War said, "No, you don't." So Roosevelt was proud of all four of his sons enlisted for service in World War I, but brokenhearted when his youngest son, Quentin, was shot and killed in Germany.
What does he think happens in war?
His oldest son won the Congressional Medal of Honor, too, and he was in the D-Day invasion. Mm-hmm. He was like 50 years old.
He died.
He died there. He didn't get killed at D-Day, but he had like a heart attack or a stroke or something after the...
Did get the Medal of Honor for... Mm-hmm. For D-Day. And okay, so now we're back to Teddy. He led an expedition to South America in 1914. Once in South America, a new, far more ambitious goal was added: to find the headwaters of the Rio Duvida.
And what is that better known as, Colonel?
The River of Doubt.
I just like this podcast. That'd be a great name for this podcast. The Podcast of Doubt.
Podcast of Doubt. And trace it north to the Madeira, thence.
It's pretty badass what he does here.
To the Amazon River. It was later named Roosevelt River in honor of the former president. His crew consisted of his son Kermit, naturalist Colonel Rondon, George Cherry, sent by the American Museum of Natural History, a Brazilian physician, Dr. Jose Antonio Caziera, and 16 skilled paddlers and porters. Which is much better than having 16 unskilled paddlers.
It really is. If you're going to have paddlers and porters, Brandon, it's good that they be skilled.
Yeah.
During the trip down the river, Roosevelt suffered a minor leg wound after he jumped into the river to try to prevent two canoes from smashing into the rocks. But it was a mere flesh wound. However, soon it gave him tropical fever, Timmy. Mm. And it resembled the malaria he had contracted in Cuba 15 years before. Because the bullet lodged in his chest from the assassination attempt was never removed, his health worsened from the infection. This weakened Roosevelt so greatly that 6 weeks into the adventure, he had to be attended to day and night by the expedition's physician and his son Kermit.
The frog.
Hey, Dad, how are you doing?
It did not sound like Kermit at all.
By then, he could not walk because of an infection to his injured leg and an infirmity in the other, which was due to a traffic accident a decade earlier. This guy was like the first Evel Knievel.
Yes.
Roosevelt was riddled with chest pains, fighting a fever that soared to 103 at times that made him delirious. Now, come over here, devil. You got a fever? Because you seem delirious at times. I don't know if you just... See, she's not engaged again. Yeah, not engaged.
Not engaged.
We lost her again. You got the ADD, devil? We can get you some Ritalin or some Adderall or some kind of thing to keep you...
I don't have ADD.
Okay, because you seem to just drift off into your own little world.
Yeah.
I mean, what did I just read about, devil? Just tell me what I just talked about.
He got fever. He got a tropical fever.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That was like four paragraphs ago.
He's getting ready to die.
He's not getting ready to die. Regarding his condition as a threat to the survival of the others, Roosevelt insisted he be left behind to allow the poorly provisioned expedition to proceed. Only an appeal by his son persuaded him to continue. He was a badass sumbitch right there. Teddy lost 50 pounds on the trip. Upon his return to New York, friends and family were startled by his physical appearance and fatigue. Roosevelt wrote, perhaps prophetically, to a friend that the trip had cut his short life by 10 years. For the rest of his few remaining years, he would be plagued by flare-ups of malaria and leg inflammation so severe as to require surgery. On the night of January 5th, 1919, Roosevelt suffered breathing problems. He felt better after treatment from his physician, Dr. George Fowler, and went to bed. His last words were, "Please put out the light, James," to his family servant, James Amos.
So he was getting ready to die. In three sentences, he was getting ready to die, but I'm getting, you're not listening.
Well, it was some time.
A lot of things happened in here. Between 4 and 4:15 the next morning, Roosevelt died at his home on Sagamore Hill. A blood clot had detached from a vein and traveled to his lungs. He was a mere 60 years old, Timmy.
Young.
An ardent Republican, Alice Roosevelt Longworth, remained... Alice Roosevelt Longworth remained in the public eye for nearly a century. An ardent Republican,
she
nevertheless supported John F. Kennedy.
She outlived all of her brothers and sisters. She was the oldest, but she outlived, there were six of them, but she outlived them all. She lived to be like 96, I think.
She supported Robert Kennedy? She admitted to voting for Lyndon Johnson, and she thought Barry Goldwater was a mean little prick.
Yeah, he was.
Alice ardently campaigned against Franklin Roosevelt's presidential bid in 1932, and in 1928 campaigned for her brother Ted's bid for the New York State governorship. Alice and Richard Tricky Dicky Nixon formed a long-lasting relationship until... Nixon misquoted Theodore Roosevelt's private diary during his presidential
resignation. I don't think he misquoted it. I think what happened was she didn't like him using it because at that point his administration was scandal ridden because of Watergate.
Yeah, she didn't like the connection.
She didn't like him quoting her dad.
In 1944, she compared Thomas E. Dewey to the little man in the wedding cake with a tiny dick.
I thought she was going to compare him to the little man in the boat.
Yeah. A description that stuck in the voters' minds and indirectly contributed to his demise.
His loss. Yeah.
A stark contrast to the short... A stark contrast to the short, tragic death of her mother, Alice lived a long and fruitful life. At 55, at the age of 71, Alice fell and suffered a broken hip.
Oh, and the broken hips will get you, Brandy.
In 56, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and though successfully she underwent a mastectomy... At the time, the cancer was found in other breasts, requiring a second mastectomy. Mm. After many years of ill health, Alice finally died in her Embassy Row house on February 20, 1980, Timmy.
Yeah. Not very long ago, Colonel.
At age 96, of emphysema and pneumonia, with contributory effects of a number of chronic illnesses. She is buried in Rock Creek Cemetery, Washington, D.C. She is the last surviving child of Theodore Roosevelt. In 2001, Bill Clinton posthumously awarded Theodore Roosevelt the Medal of Honor for his service during the Spanish-American War. Roosevelt's son, Theodore Jr., who had served in both World Wars, also received the Medal of Honor.
Very good. Brandy, your final thoughts on President Theodore Roosevelt and his first wife, Alice Hathaway Lee.
Amazing.
You have no thoughts?
She didn't listen to the goddamn story. How's she going to have any thoughts about it?
I have no thoughts. Chuck has emptied my mind of all thoughts.
You don't seem to have a lot of energy today.
It's exhausting. That is exhausting. It's exhausting.
I'm
exhausted.
She didn't have lunch. None of us had lunch.
No. Because Timmy, being the slave driver that he is.
Yes. No, because this dickhead has schedules a dentist appointment because he chipped his tooth right in the middle when we're supposed to be doing our podcast.
I
bit down on a screw to try to bite. Because
that's
it
what
out.
You do. You bite tooth. Down on a screw to try and pull it off. Using your teeth like a fucking multi-purpose tool.
Well, yeah.
Jackass.
I think he's got a screw loose.
No, boy. Clearly not, because he couldn't get it out with his teeth.
So you chipped your tooth, Colonel. We're sorry to hear that.
Can I have one of your power bar, Devil?
Fuck you.
see how she acts?
Colonel, your final thoughts on President Theodore.
You know, he lived a tragic but eventful, adventurous life. He was one bad son of a bitch. I mean, that's all you can say about Teddy. We need Teddy right now. If people really want to change in politics, we would have elected Teddy Roosevelt. We'd have brought him back from the
grave. He didn't run.
Huh?
He's dead.
He didn't run.
I know, but we need somebody like Teddy Roosevelt. You got the voodoo. Why didn't you bring him back to life?
I didn't realize I had voodoo.
Bully, bully!
Colonel, get to your shout-outs.
Oh, well, God, you're getting all pushy with me here, Timmy.
Well, because he's hungry. He's 3 hours overdue for lunch.
Are you going to go to lunch or are you just leaving early?
I'm leaving early.
Okay, so.
This is for me coming back.
You got here at, like, what, 5:30 this morning or something?
Exactly.
Okay, we got a couple new listeners here, Timmy.
All right.
We got Tracy Harper.
Hi, Tracy.
Julia Miller. Leah McGraw. Julia Miller appears from her profile picture to be a raging ginger.
She is friends with Diane, student of the History Goes Bump podcast.
Diane is also a ginger.
I don't.
Do they hang in packs?
I don't know. I'm not going to.
Do they travel?
I'm not going to go down that path with you. You're on your own, buddy.
Okay, let's see. We got the lovely Tasha.
The lovely Tasha from California and her mother, okay. Ophelia.
Let's see. We got the Colonel's crew on the last one, but we got to get little Fallon because she's the mascot.
Okay.
Lydia, Kristen Whiting. Elise Kearns, Kim Stroop, Justin, TJ Young, Pete Fulmer, Chris Lane, Mike Hound, Shabon, Brooke Smith, Tony Marsala, Sarah Morgan, how you doing, Sarah? Joe Phoenix, MJ Howard, Stacy Flynn, Marissa Rhodes, Megan Harper, Catherine Richardson, Alicia Wren, Diane Huff, Julia Jordan, Teresa Klingensmith, Fiona Crisp, Tommy Lane, Teresa Arthur, Tina Reeves, let's see, Kelly Coswell, Jennifer Samoan,
You screwed up her name.
It's just Jennifer Samoan, Laura Meredith, Ronnie Rhodes, Sophia Panna, Aaron Shipley, Jay Alford, Holly Woodard, Ali Nett, Susie Randall, Deborah Chappelle, Danielle Jones.
Between Us Girls podcast.
Between Us Girls. Who Timmy trying to beg for an interview.
I thought I'd be on their show.
You're pretty much thrown all dignity out the window, just begging them.
What
like
little
that,
dignity
Timmy.
He
yeah.
had.
I've thrown out dignity out the window a long time ago.
Well, that's true. That's very true. I'm moving my mic here. Brittany Martin, Margot Donahue, Jamie Metcalf, Meg Vansil, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Ramoni Howard, Neetan Sill, Kimberly Bennett, Rachel Hummel. How you doing, Rachel? Lauren Murr. Murr. Molly Fontenot. Sean DeBoard. Stacy Gutierrez. Tim Hale. Donnie Young. Melanie Young. James Rion. Alan Dobbs. Ann Daza. Carol Nash. Elizabeth Brault. Mark Farman. Paul Kimes. Chris Swanson. Andrea Odell, Richard Roy, Christine Bachelor, George Huckler, Matt Brookins, Joe Lamont, Leah Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Todd Long, Lauren Feller, Ron Ratchke, Terry Pickett, Holly Schreiber, Madge Payne, Lindy Latta, Steph Glenn, Christina Hodges, Christina Montana. My name is Christina Montana. You killed my father.
Say hello to my little friend. Die.
Oh, yeah, that's Montoya. We got Montoya Montana. Mm-hmm. Say hello to my little friend, Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Hamilton, Paul Bampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lubrano, and our Heathers, Heather Hall, Heather Poole, Heather Marshall, Maddie Kennan, Lise, of course, John Janke, Jeff Hopkins, Mark Hammermeister, Brittany Powell, Terry Helmsley, Pavlova, Michael Daniel, Jen Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Miriam Buchwald, Jennifer Winans Miller, Kelsey Fro,
Karen Barnes,
Susanna Sheldon. Karen Barnes, of course, is just a lovely woman.
Lovely lady.
And Skip Fayou, Callie, Brandy Deese, Andy Smizer, Don Hamer, Norma DiMaggio, Karen Alden, Angie L., Amber Trevino, Carla Nelson, Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Kristen Anderson, Valerie Murray, Tammy Ennis, Tamara Cola, Leah McAllister, Stephanie Pauling, Lauren Meredith, and I believe I've gotten through that half of the list.
Great.
And we did the other half yesterday.
All right, just two more.
And our favorite Brit, Lady Beverly.
Yes, and our thoughts are to all of our British listeners who
absolutely
are having a bad week this week.
Yes, they are. Yes,
keep,
they are.
Hang tough. You get through the Blitz, we'll get through this.
And Lady Beverly, you know we're always thinking about you.
Yes.
And the...
And Sully.
And Noble Sully, Sully the Brave. Mm-hmm. And the incomparable... The one of a kind, the woman who really needs no introduction, but I will do it anyway, Miss Dottie Scott.
Thank you, Mom. Brandy, where can people find us? Tell us a little bit about
Are you paying attention, Dottie?
Tell us about your podcast.
My podcast is Cover to Cover Kids.
Hope you put more energy into that one.
Yeah, Cover to Cover Kids. It's a podcast for
it's
children.
It's a podcast for children, yes. And I just read books and stories. There's no commentary. There's nothing.
Yeah, but
just
it's good
for trips and mm-hmm. things like that.
And bedtime.
Yes.
Okay, and they can find you on iTunes.
I am on the iTunes.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can find us on iTunes. If you do, please leave us a review. You can also find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1, or you can follow Chuck at HawkWaters. You can also find us on Stitcher and all the podcast apps. Join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. All the people that we give shout-outs to, they're part of that group. So please join us, History Dweebs, the podcast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bullet!
Good night.
Good day.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.